Let's read this morning 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We read this especially in connection with one of the great enemies that we face that cause us to experience the temptations that we face in this world. That enemy being the devil. Let's read the entire chapter this morning, 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thus far we read the Word of God. It's on the basis of that passage and in accordance with all of God's Word that we have the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 52. This morning we look at just question and answer 127. Lord's Day 52, question 127, which is the sixth petition. The answer is this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, and besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do Thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we study the Lord's Prayer, we see the wisdom of Jesus Christ in what He taught us to pray. We have opportunity to see that this morning as we look at the last, the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. All of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer on the surface are simple and short, but in them we have the principles set down for everything that we need when it comes to prayer and everything we need to pray for. God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will being done, our daily bread, and the forgiveness of our sins. In all of those petitions, we have everything we need to glorify God and everything we need for our lives here on this earth. And that's also the case with respect to this last petition that we look at this morning, the sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To see that, it's helpful to understand the relationship between the fifth and the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. This is something that we pointed out a couple of weeks ago in connection with the sermon on the opening verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In the fifth petition, we ask that God would forgive us our sins. That is, we ask that God would declare to us that we are righteous, that the guilt of our sin is covered, and that God will not judge us and punish us on the basis of that guilt. But now with this sixth petition, it takes it one step further, a necessary step further, because the fifth petition deals with the guilt of our sin. But that's not all that there is for our salvation, especially as we go forth here on this earth in our everyday lives, because the calling is that we are to be sanctified. And that's what this petition is all about, a prayer for sanctification, so that this petition now deals with the power of sin in our everyday lives until we go to glory and are with our Lord. So the fifth, the guilt, and now the sixth, the power as we face sin here on this earth. Listen to Titus 2 verse 14 regarding the work of our Savior, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. That's the fifth petition. Justification, forgiveness. But then the verse goes on and says, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And that's what we talk about this morning. Purification, zealous unto good works in the way of being delivered from evil, in the way of not being led into temptation. So that's what we see this morning. With the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation. We notice in the first place the necessity of this petition. In the second place, the petition itself. And last, the end. Beloved, you and I are constantly bombarded by temptations. We do not escape temptation. When we think about the subject of temptations, what often comes to mind are those grand events in our lives, those critical moments, so we may say, in which we have a choice right in front of us to do this, to go in the way of sin or to not, especially when it comes to the besetting sins that we face every day in our lives. Yes, temptations have to do with those outstanding sins that we may face in our lives. But beloved, the reality is that we face temptations from the moment that we wake up in the morning to the moment that we go to bed at night. In every situation that we face, at home, with our friends, by ourselves, in school, at work, in thought, in word, in deed, it doesn't matter what it is. Always we have in front of us a temptation that we face. Because always, doesn't matter what it is, always there's the choice. Do I glorify God in this? Or do I go the way of sin? We're constantly bombarded by temptation. When we talk about temptations, it's helpful to make the necessary distinction between a temptation and a trial. A temptation is any attempt of the devil, this wicked world, our own sinful natures, to cause us to fall into sin. and therefore to show by that our hatred for God. Only the devil tempts. Only the wicked tempt. God does not tempt us to fall into sin. The classic passage in that regard is James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. That's a temptation, an attempt of the devil to cause us to fall. A trial is different. A trial is something that God sends us. A trial is something that God uses, especially for the purpose of strengthening on our faith. You go through the trial, and through that trial, you come out on the other side of that trial, stronger in your faith, stronger in your resolve to live a God-glorifying, sanctified life. God sends the trials. The devil uses the temptations. But understand that a trial and a temptation are found in one and the same event. The same thing can be both a temptation and it can be a trial. And one of the things that points that out is the fact that the Greek word in the New Testament for temptation and for trial is the exact same word. There's one word for these two realities. And so when you go to the Scriptures, you have to determine what's being spoken about here. And oftentimes the context makes it clear. Okay, in this situation, it's a temptation being dealt with. In another situation, it's a trial. But the point of that is that these things are so closely related, so related that it's the same word in the original Greek. What is a temptation is also a trial. Think about the child on the playground. He sees a group of kids mocking, bullying another kid. For this child, he goes to that group and there's a temptation there and there's a trial there. The temptation is to join with the group. Start mocking the other kid. But that at the same time is a trial from God. A trial that the kid may stand up and say, what you're doing is wrong. And through that, his faith and the faith of his friends would be strengthened. But you see by that every situation can either lead us to fall into sin or lead us in the way that is well-pleasing to God. That in part shows the necessity of this petition. The fact that everything we face is a temptation and that we never escape that reality. What is more, with respect to the necessity of this petition, is the fact that we stand against an unbelievably strong enemy. And that's what the Catechism makes clear. There is a threefold enemy that we face, an enemy that causes us to fall. That enemy, according to the Catechism, is the devil, the world, and our own flesh. But look at what it says right before that in the Catechism in describing these enemies. And besides this, since our mortal enemies. The point is this. These enemies don't simply seek to hurt you a little bit, to bruise you, to make you fall down once or twice. The enemies are mortal enemies. They seek your very soul. They seek to destroy you spiritually. They seek to make it be the case in your life that you don't experience in any way your life with your God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Mortal enemies. Never forget that, beloved. It's not just simply, I'm going to hurt you a little bit, I'm going to kill you, is the attempt of these enemies. Who are those enemies? Enemy is, in the first place, the devil. That's why we read in part 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do not underestimate the power of the devil. Do not underestimate the power of the devil, in part because the devil has at his disposal a whole host of fallen angels, a whole host that is ready to do anything the devil tells them to do. Understand that the devil is not omnipresent and all-powerful. The devil can't be everywhere at the same time. But he has his co-workers. He has the ones that carry out his every call to work on his behalf. And so what he does is he says to those fallen angels, all right, this is your job. Seek out this child in the church. Do your research. See what tempts them in a special way. And work furiously in everything they do to cause that child of God to fall. In that way, the devil is as a roaring lion. What a figure that's used there, a lion. We know what a lion does. A lion doesn't hurt, but a lion kills. A lion destroys. And that's the devil and his host in our everyday lives, seeking to destroy us. And then there's the world in which we live, the wicked world in which we live, another mortal enemy. Think about it this way when we talk about the world. How does the Scriptures and the Reformed faith describe the church and the size of the church? What do we always say? The church is but a remnant. That's all it is, a remnant. Now, what does that mean with respect to the world? The world is the multitude, the majority. And when you think about it that way, you see how that manifests itself in our everyday lives. The world attacks us on every side. It's the majority in what we face here on this earth. It doesn't matter what you do. It's everywhere the world comes to you and seeks you to cause you to fall into sin. You turn on the radio, you click Internet Explorer on your computer. You turn on the TV. What you do on the weekends. It doesn't matter. The world surrounds us. It's everywhere, seeking to cause us to fall. The devil, the world, and the Catechism also says, our own flesh. Our own flesh. And that's the scary part about it, beloved. Hypothetically speaking, let's say that the devil says, I give up on this child of God for a while. Go away from him. Hypothetically speaking, let's say that we can escape the wickedness of this world and the hatred of this world. But still, we would face these temptations. Because still, we have that old man of sin in us that loves that sin, that loves to go in the opposite direction of God, that loves to cause us to fall. We stand against an unbelievably strong enemy in the devil, in the world, and our own sinful flesh. And therefore we need this petition. We need this petition because of the all-encompassing nature of temptations. We need this petition because of the enemies that we face. But We need this petition also because we are so weak. And this goes along with the fact that it's our sinful natures that assault us, but we are weak. We are weak to fight sin. And therefore we need to go to God and seek help in the face of those battles. And this doesn't become any more clear when you think about those especially strong sins that we face in our lives, those besetting sins. You figure out what that is for your own life. Whether it's lying, whether it's pride, whether it's alcohol, whether it's pornography. You fill in that for your life. Our weakness is not seen more clearly when we face those kind of sins. Because when we face those sins, we can say to ourselves over and over and over again, I will do this. I am going to put this in my life so that I don't fall. I. Relying upon yourself to overcome and fight those sins. Every time you try to do it by your own strength, you will fall. We are weak, utterly weak in the face of temptation. And that's why we go to God in prayer with the words of this sixth petition. And we say to God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Very simply, this petition is a prayer for strength in the battle of sin that we are engaged in every single day. Notice that from the Catechism. Do therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome, and this is how it describes our lives, in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes. We're in a battle. Every temptation that you face is simply one small war in the battle, or the one small battle rather, in the war that we face against our enemy. And the question is, how are we going to fight? How are we going to engage in that battle? How will we overcome? And the answer is not by our own strength. The only answer is by the strength of God. And that's the point of the Catechism and this sixth petition. But you may say to yourself, it's not possible. It's not possible that I can resist the temptations. Not possible that I can overcome these enemies that I am facing in my life. They're too strong. But I'm here to tell you this morning, well, it's not me that's here to tell you this morning, it's the Word of God that is here to tell you this morning that there is no enemy that is stronger than God Himself and the Holy Spirit Himself to get you to overcome those temptations. Mark 10 verse 27 says that with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The context of Mark 10 is salvation, entrance into the kingdom of God. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Beloved, part of our salvation is this very point. Living how we are called to live, fighting that sin. With this, all things are possible only through God. But that's the point. It's only through God that we can resist the temptations that we face. Preserve and strengthen us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, God Himself, that will give us strength in the battles that we face. And so the only way to overcome them is to go to God and rely upon Him.
And the way that God works in facing the temptations of our lives is always through the Scriptures. The only way is to go to the Word of God and trust that God would work through that to give you strength. Now, I don't say that if you go to the Scriptures, you will never fall again and never fall into that sin and resist the foes. But I will say this, without the Scriptures, it's impossible. God always works through the power of His Word. And so if you say to yourself, in the midst of the battles that you face, I can't do that. I can't go to the Scriptures. The Scriptures that the Holy Spirit is the author of, that's the connection or one of the connections. If you say you can't do that, well then go to someone who can. Go to someone that can help you. The elders of the church, the pastor of the church, a friend, a parent, anyone to lead you in the Word of God in the battles that you face every single day. Think about Jesus. We're simply following the pattern of Jesus Himself. The three temptations that He faced in the wilderness at the hand of the devil himself. Number one, turning the stones into bread after 40 days of fasting. How did Jesus face the devil? This is what He said. Man shall not live by bread alone. That was a quotation of the Old Testament Scriptures. That's a fascinating part about that history of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every temptation that He faced from the devil, He rebutted the devil. He fought the devil by pointing out the Word of God. He used Scripture. And you can see that He did for the other two temptations as well. The way to fight is found in the way of going to the Word of God. And through that, God preserves and God strengthens us by the power of His Holy Spirit. The petition, so in the first place, is a prayer for strength and preservation in the battles that we face. But the petition also is a petition that acknowledges the sovereignty of God in the temptations that we face. That's a striking part about this petition. We're speaking to God and we say, lead us not into temptation. The implication of that is that God controls and is sovereign over the temptations that we face. Now we confess the sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty in salvation, God's sovereignty in every aspect of our lives, and that flows to this as well. God's sovereignty over the temptations that we face. Now we say that remembering full well what we said at the beginning of the sermon. God does not tempt. God cannot tempt because of who He is as God. But at the same time, God controls and God governs everything that we face. And it's here where our finite minds have a hard time wrapping our minds around how that is the case. How God governs it all, controls it all, but is not responsible for the temptations that we face. Because it's the devil that tempts. The point is this, God uses it to serve His purposes. To see that God controls that in this way, you just have to look at Job. We know the history of Job. The devil wanted to tempt Job. How was it that the devil tempted Job? He went to God in heaven. And God gave him the power, the ability to go to Job and tempt Job so that Job would curse his God. God controlled it. Everything that Job faced. And that's the case in our lives as well. God teaches us in different ways. The calling is to go forth living holy and sanctified lives. Now, how will that be accomplished in our lives. God uses different ways to accomplish that. One of them is the way of trial, so that we go through a trial and we're strengthened through that trial. The figure of silver being tried by fire. Everything is wiped away. All the dross and impurities are wiped away. And the fire and the silver is stronger and purer than it was before. That's one of the ways. But sometimes, and that's what we're praying for in this petition, that way, Father, give me strength. Lead me not into that temptation, but give me strength to fight and to grow in that way. But we acknowledge the sovereignty of God in the temptations that we face. And so what we need to do as well this morning is see the purposes of God if in fact we are led into the temptations. And if in fact we are falling in those temptations. Because God certainly has His purposes. He always has His purposes in what we do. Look at David. Old Testament David. He faced the temptation of adultery. And then the temptation of murder. And then the temptation of lying. And he fell into those sins. What was the purpose of God in that? We can see the purpose of God in that. David needed that so that David would understand in a way like he never understood before what the great person that he was a type of would do for him, Jesus Christ. He understood the great work of God in making his sins, though they were scarlet, become as white as snow, so that the guilt that he experienced for those sins, he now understood to be placed upon another, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the purpose of that also in this. What do we have from that? Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, God used that so David would write those Psalms. And how many saints throughout the history of the church, even today, go to Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 to see their sin and to find comfort in the forgiveness of their sins. God uses that in our lives here on this earth so that we grow in our faith and are strengthened in understanding what God does for us. And it's the same thing in our lives. He may use those temptations and the falling into those temptations so that we see like we never saw before the work of our Savior, so that others may see, like they never saw before, what Jesus Christ has done. And then in turn, go forth living all the more a thankful life here on this earth. But the prayer of this petition is not that way, Father. Not that way, because that's the way that's not pleasing to Thee. Thou wilt use it, Thou dost always use it, but that's the way of sin. That's the way of destruction. This way, Father, lead me not. Give me strength in the face of all of the temptations that we face here on this earth. But the petition also has an eye on the end. Has an eye on the complete deliverance that we will experience one day. And that's really the second part of the petition. The negative is, lead us not into temptation. But now the positive is, but deliver us from evil. Evil there can either be the evil one. That'd be a correct translation of that. Meaning the devil himself. Or evil more generally. Deliver us from evil. In the end, it doesn't matter which one it is. We are delivered from that evil here on this earth. We experience that deliverance when we fight those sins and fight those temptations. But the reality, beloved, is that we will never, ever on this side of the grave be completely delivered. The enemies will always be there. The devil's not going to give up until the day you die. He will be in that room in which you die, in which you take your last breath. The devil will be there. His host will be there. The world is not getting better, and our sinful nature will cleave unto us until the day we die. And so when we pray, deliver us from evil, it's a prayer for the great end that we have in our lives. The great end when God will deliver us from evil in a complete way, when we become one with the body of Jesus Christ that has gone before us in heaven itself, and we see our Savior face to face. And that's how the end of the Catechism teaches us this. In explaining, but deliver us from evil, the end of the Catechism says, till at last we obtain a complete victory. So what are we saying in this petition? What are we praying for? We're saying, Father, I fight a battle every single day. Here on this earth, give me strength for that battle. And through that, every day, fighting that sin, lead me one day to the time when I will experience the great victory of life with Christ in glory. And beloved, the victory is ours. The victory is ours because of Jesus Christ. With the fifth petition that we talked about already, Jesus Christ paid the debts. He endured the guilt. We have a right to life with God in heaven. But you may say to yourself, and why does it matter? Why do I even try to go forth fighting here on this earth? Why? Because you're in Jesus Christ. Because you are on the Lord's side. And as those on the Lord's side, we fight every single day the enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why, you might ask? Because you are delivered. And this is the way of thankfulness. Third section of the Catechism, don't forget it. This is the way of gratitude to God for what He has done for us. Why, you might ask? Do we go on fighting? Because a life that fights, a life that seeks strength from God, is a life well-pleasing to Him. And so, beloved, let's pray this petition every single day. Apply it to your own life and the temptations that you face. Pray this petition. Pray for strength to fight the enemy. If you fall, seek forgiveness and go forth in the way of gratitude for forgiveness. And in all of this, may God so use it so that we live lives well-pleasing to Him until the day when we will at last obtain the victory and glory only because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Bring us one day through our battle here on this earth to Thee with in glory, when we will see our Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face. Give us strength, though, for the battle on this earth. Every single day may we look to Thee for power and strength in the face of our temptations. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.